Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome back to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellisai. Thanks to Squatty Potty for sponsoring this week's episode. You know how last week was terrible? Well, guess what? This week topped it. So get ready to vent, or at least to hear me vent, because we're going in hard today on Unhappy Hour. As an update, I found out that one Whole Foods in Manhattan does carry the chocolate chip cookies that I like. So guess what? My fatty liver is going nowhere. Also, I saw Elena from Billy on the Street at that Whole Foods, so it's a magical place.
Oh, I'm surprised she's not here instead of me.
Well, she should be.
I know.
We're in the studio. I'm sitting here, as always, with my producer, Barry Finkel.
Hey, Matt.
Hi, Barold. Today on the show, we're going to start off, as always, with Worst Things First, the most fucked up news of the week. And let me tell you, it's going to be wild because this week was trash. After that, we're going to dive deep, like scuba diving for a lost treasure, if that lost treasure was Harry Styles and he was in the ocean and I had to jump in and save him. Except the topic is not Harry Styles. The topic is bad ideas, like Harry Styles getting anywhere near me. And last, but certainly not least, I'm talking to one of my fave comedians, both on Twitter and IRL, Aparna Nancherla. We've got all that and more on today's episode. So let's do it. Let's get this thing going. Let's start. Let's go. Here we go. We're starting now. This is the show. And begin. All right, look at that. We started the show. This is Worst Things First, the most fucked up news of the week, where I share all the shittiest things that made me pull out my hair this week. So first, of course, I want to start off by talking about how last weekend we had neo-Nazis, white supremacists, the KKK, all of their pale, cowardly friends got out their fucking tiki torches to defend a monument to the Confederacy, which is quite literally the least American thing you can possibly do. You are defending a symbol of the Confederacy, Robert E. Lee, who was a piece of shit, by the way. Okay, he led Confederate armies against the United States. Here's your criteria. If you picked up a gun and fought against the United States, you shouldn't have a fucking monument in the United States. That's it. Then, of course, during the rally, there was a man who drove a car into a group of counter-protesters, killing a woman named Heather Heyer, who was there to protest the Nazis. Then Donald Trump, of course, our fucking gas bag in chief, first got up and said that there was blame on both sides, which, like everything else that comes from one of his gaping orifices, was breathtaking in its stupidity. It took him almost 48 hours to condemn the white supremacist Nazis and the KKK. And then finally, on Tuesday, he gave a fucking fever dream of a press conference and started undoing his words by saying, well, you know, the other side has bad people in it, too. He also was complimenting the Nazis by saying, well, some of them are good. Some of them are good people. Which is literally the problem. Like, that of all of the offensive things that were in that statement, that, to me, was the most offensive. Well, I don't know. I don't know if you can even categorize
it.
It's hard to rank. But to say that there are good people among the people who were there to defend a racist monument, it doesn't compute. So here's the thing. White people in particular, I'm talking to you, we need to stop making excuses for one another. People don't like being called racist because they think a racist is some evil monster cartoon character. And so people are willing to make excuses for people that they think don't look like evil monster cartoon characters. Newsflash, racists are everywhere, and they don't have to look like an evil monster that you have in your head. They look just like you. They look just like the person in the mirror. So you need to fucking confront yourself. You need to confront the people around you. You can't just say, this isn't America, this isn't us, because it is. Hank Green, who is a YouTuber, wrote on Twitter something that I think sums up what I was thinking, and he said it better than I could. Quote, when Trump says that there were lots of fine people at the alt-right rally, he means a very specific thing. He's saying that there are ways to be a good, thoughtful, patriotic white supremacist. Very few of those people had Nazi flags. Most of them just believe that America needs to be protected from non-whites. And Trump is sympathetic to that viewpoint, not only because it helped him win, but because that's what he is. Trump believes that white people and Western culture are superior. He is a white supremacist. The people who fly the Nazi flags, they're not the scary ones for me. It's the ones who have no idea that they're Nazis. Good, thoughtful, patriotic white supremacists emboldened by or created by the president are pushing a simple message that white people are better, that it's okay to believe that white people are better, and that white people are under attack. Believing those things isn't being a Nazi, they say, completely unaware that, in fact, that is exactly what being a Nazi is.
Thank you, Hank.
Thank you, Hank. And as always, we should add, when we're talking about this erratic monster who lives in the White House sometimes, that we're recording this podcast in the middle of the week. So when you're listening to this, shit might have gotten worse. He might have said something to degrade us even further. So make sure that you and all of the people in the nuclear bunker that you live in give one another a hug. All right, moving on to some lighter news.
Whew.
The bubonic plague is back, honey. And she's coming for Arizona first. Yeah, so health officials in two Arizona counties have confirmed that local fleas have got the bubonic plague. All right. Apparently, it's prairie dogs with fleas that have the bubonic plague. Humans can only get the plague if they get bit by a rodent or if they have a pet that comes in contact with the fleas. Which seems like a big or. So basically, don't pet any prairie dogs and also maybe get rid of your fucking cat. And you'll be fine.
Thanks, Dr. Belisai.
You're welcome. And finally, one of the Backstreet Boys farted while recording The Call. The seminal Backstreet Boys hit.
One of my favorite songs of all time.
Honestly.
It's so good.
I remember probably the moment that everybody should have known I was gay was when we were going to a restaurant for lunch and I was with my dad and my brother and I made everyone wait in the car until The Call ended on the radio. Do you remember that? When you had to listen to every song on the radio so you couldn't risk getting out. You had to listen to it when you got the chance. if you weren't near a cassette player to hit record. So anyway, one of the Backstreet Boys farted while recording The Call, and it made it onto the final cut. Backstreet Boy Howie Duroux, a.k.a. one of the Backstreet Boys who is not Nick Carter. I don't know any of their names. He farted in the studio, but because every Backstreet Boy is a musical prodigy, his fart was on key, and the producer just left it in. He just mixed it right in. So now that's a part of history. Let's be real. A fart was probably the only thing that Howie gave the Backstreet Boys. Someone had to say it. Don't come at me, Howie stands. Honestly, four of the five Backstreet Boys could walk into the studio and I would call the police because I would not know who they were. We're going to a place nearby. Gotta go. And that's it for Worst Things First. Bit of a heavy week, but fortunately, we have even more heavy shit for you next. We have a little deep dive for you on a topic called bad ideas. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive.
Deep dive.
Deep dive. Deep dive. So this week, we've seen a lot of people, namely the fucking president of the United States, have some pretty terrible ideas and feel like they can just get up in front of everybody and announce them to the world in public for everyone to hear. I announce plenty of ideas, but I keep them to myself. I announce them right into the mirror in the morning. I get them all out. I flush them right out.
Can we get a taste?
Jeans with jelly on the inside, Vaseline, so that you moisturized. So all my scabs, all my thigh scabs are smooth when I put my jeans on in the morning. That was today's idea. A toothbrush, but for your grundle. Clowns for old people.
What?
You know what? That's why I keep those ideas to myself, okay? Because they're not ready for the world. And here's a bunch of ideas that should not have been ready for the world, that should have been kept to themselves. Basically, here's a bunch of shit ideas. First off, you might have heard this story a couple weeks ago. The guys behind the TV show Game of Thrones on HBO announced their next project called Confederate, which imagines a world where the South prevailed in the Civil War and slavery is still allowed to exist. Here's a bad idea. And they've doubled down on this idea since. HBO has put out statements in light of what has happened in Charlottesville and been like, we're HBO. We're going to treat this with a lot of respect. The internet was rightly incensed over this idea. The best take that I read was Ta-Nehisi Coates in The Atlantic, right? Whose main argument was basically people are comparing it to the Amazon show that is about if Germany won World War II. And it's like, Germany has done a very good job of
reparations.
Yeah, of saying, sorry. And as you can see, if you turn on literally any television, America maybe does not have that same sense of maturity and introspection that Germany has. But next up in bad ideas, storing dead bodies in lunchrooms. Who would do this, you ask? Well, only the guardians of hell itself. The MTA. So the MTA, if you don't live in New York City, the MTA is the subway. And it's also hell on earth
right now. It is.
Like the zombie apocalypse has come to New York City and it's taking place in the subway. There was a report in the New York Post that it is MTA policy that when someone dies on the train, they have to take the body off the train and then carry it to the nearest room, no matter what that room is. So if it's a lunchroom, they just put the dead body in the lunchroom. So there's MTA employees that are complaining because they're like, there's fucking dead bodies
in our
break room. I mean, it's New York. There's dead bodies everywhere. Next up in terrible ideas, opening a Cheetos-themed restaurant. And before you tell me, oh, man, that sounds like a great idea, you can go fuck yourself because that is not a great idea. Celebrity chef Anne Burrell, a.k.a. Lady Guy Fieri. You know her. She is orange like Chester the Cheetah. She also looks like one of those troll dolls.
Yes, exactly.
With the stomachs.
Yeah.
That you touch for good luck. And her hair is very spiky. It looks like a soft serve ice cream. She opened a 3-day pop-up eatery in Tribeca that is all Cheeto themed. You know what's even better than putting Cheetos on your tacos? Open your bag of Cheetos, put your taco stuff right into the bag. Boom! It's called a walking taco. I didn't make it up, but I will take credit for it. Moving on, next bad idea, airdropping your dick pics to strangers on the subway. Hot new trend. Guys are taking pics of their dicks and airdropping them, which is a hot feature on iPhones. You could just airdrop your dick pics. I hate every picture that the New York Post picks for stories like these because it's just like an extreme close-up of some sad woman who's like, And it's just like, now I'm laughing at her and I shouldn't be. I should be laughing at the dick. Some other terrible ideas while we're on the subject. Gender reveal parties. Fox News. The Network. Peanut butter chips. As in chocolate chips that are peanut butter. White chocolate in general. People who take pictures of themselves in charcoal face masks and post them on Instagram. Heads up, that's just blackface. Camping. Any toilet paper that is one ply or under. Being Iggy Azalea. Next up, bad idea. Literally fucking on the subway, which is what two Yankees fans were doing on the way back from a, I hope, a baseball game. Did they even win? No, the Yankees lost. So they were having a sad, depressing loser's fuck on the subway. And there was an Instagram video of this happening, which I could not believe. I was watching with mine own two innocent eyes. And the woman was barefoot, which is even worse than fucking.
That is more disgusting.
You know what? Penetrate all you want, but put shoes on. I saw one person, though, I think even worse than bare feet are those shoes that wrap around each toe.
Yes.
And finally, speaking of shoes, fashion designer and Moschino creative director Jeremy Scott unveiled a limited collaboration of Uggs, one of which was flame printed, like one of those cowboy boots? Like a gay cowboy boot. One of them is bedazzled. Apparently, this line of fancy Uggs runs anywhere from like $200 to $1,200 for a pair of Uggs. For a pair of ugly-ass Uggs. You made a bad thing worse. If you're wearing an Ugg, your foot is already halfway in hell. And that's it. I hope you all enjoyed this week's deep dive. I hope you learned something. I hope you make better decisions in the future. I hope you don't have any bad ideas ever in your life, except for jelly pants, because that's a great idea. Up next, we're going to bring Aparna Nancherla into the stewed right after this commercial break. Today's episode is sponsored by Squatty Potty. Are you still living in a Squatty Potty-free household? You fool! Do you even know what a Squatty Potty is? Well, allow me to enlighten you. Squatty Potty is a little footstool that lives neatly right under your toilet. When you gotta take a poop, you just sit on the toilet, prop up your feet like a cool kid, and let gravity and some light grunting do the work. This week I saw a man riding his bike with a Squatty Potty strapped to his back. Seriously, I'm not kidding. That really happened. I saw with my own two eyes, and I have a very high glasses prescription. You know what he could have used instead? The Porta Squatty. Squatty Potty's very own travel stool. It folds up nice and smooth, just like your poops when you use it. It even comes with a discreet carrying bag, so you can stay humble about how efficient of a pooper you are. And by the way, the FDA says squatting is medically better for you, and they're a very legit association. Using a Squatty Potty saves you time, which is money. And we're going to help you save money so that you can get one and save time, which is money. You see where I'm going with this cycle? That's right, a coupon code. you can head to squattypotty.com/unhappy to check out all their products. Last time I told you about how I miss my Squatty Potty while I'm on the road. Well, guess what? Now I don't have to because of their travel version, the Porta Squatty. So go get yourself one by using squattypotty.com/unhappy. When you use that link, you'll get a free bottle of Squatty Potty's Fruity Booty Poo Spray. Go to squattypotty.com/unhappy and get your very own Squatty Potty. Squatty Potty, the original toilet stool. Our guest today is Miss Aparna Nancherla. Aparna is a comedian, a writer, an actress, right?
It's true, yeah. I have showed up.
In things.
In things.
You've been on Inside Amy Schumer, Crashing on HBO, Love on Netflix, most recently Master of None. You were one of Aziz's love interests.
Yes.
Well, potential. Without giving anything away.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And you're on, like, literally every list of comedians who are good comedians. So welcome, Aparna.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So the question we ask everybody is, what is the one thing that you hate that everybody else loves?
I feel like my answer is not very... deep, but maybe we can delve into
we
it
can.
Further. Okay,
we can unpack it.
Mine is slushies.
Okay.
Slushies and Slurpees. And big gulps.
Why is it the important question first?
Well, first of all, I would say in terms of sweets, I've always gravitated more towards chocolate over fruity stuff. Like, I
Correct.
Feel like that's
Correct
sort of
answer.
A divide.
Right.
And then, you know, slushies and Slurpees are kind of just like a frozen ice fruity thing. And I think I was just like, I don't understand what the appeal is here.
Right.
But people would go crazy for them.
They do.
I remember in high school, people were like, let's get Slurpees. And it was like a game changer.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, there's like people on the internet have like stolen icy machines.
Really?
Their love is deep.
Oh my gosh.
And
see,
I don't understand
I think
it
that's
either.
More what it is. It's the level of love that I'm missing.
Right. It's a whole culture. It's yeah, icy yeah. Slurpee culture.
Yeah.
Are you, so you're a New Yorker.
Yes.
Do you have the preference, the LA, New York? I mean, you live here, so that's
I do, but
the choice for now.
Yeah, I actually am sort of different from most people in that I moved to LA first and then moved here. And I feel like a lot of people do it the other way around. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a problem with LA. Like, it is a very pleasant place to live, but I almost feel like I can't live somewhere too pleasant for too long because then I tend to like lose my sense of purpose very quickly.
Right. When I was thinking about moving to LA, everything that everybody said I would hate about it, I was
right.
like, I will hate those things, but they'll probably make me a better person.
Right.
And I don't know if I want that.
I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Like, I'm going to have to drink juice and like go to the gym.
Yeah.
I could probably use that, but I don't want to. I feel like you embrace depression as a mm-hmm. part of your brand.
I do. I definitely feel conflicted about it because I do feel like it has become its own brand on the
yeah.
internet of like sad girl.
Right, right.
Or whatever. But yeah, I guess that's what I've chosen.
Do you think that joking about depression makes you feel obligated to like keep being depressed?
Oh, that's a good question.
I've been thinking about this a lot.
No, that's a great question because I do feel like it is like, am I now using it as
a coping mechanism?
Yeah, a coping mechanism. Or just like, I'm like, oh, well, this is where I'm getting a lot of material, so I got to keep this fire burning or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, consciously, no. I first started writing about it mainly because I was struggling with it and mm-hmm. couldn't write anything else. So I was like, maybe I'll just try to write about this. And I didn't even know if I would do it on stage. And I think I tried it and then people responded in a way that I wasn't really expecting in terms of like identifying with it and relating to it. So I think that made me want to talk about it more. But I think I'm actually now in a place where I'm trying to write about it less directly, and maybe if it like informs some other part of my life, that'll come through, but it might not be as like literal of like, this is how depression affects this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I made it 4.5 years in New York before going to therapy.
Oh my gosh.
So I just started.
So you had a
highly
lot
recommend
to talk
it.
About.
I literally sat down and she was like, why are you here? And I was like, I live in New York. Like, what else do you want? It's the world is terrible. but yeah, obviously recommend it. It's
yeah.
Like a physical trainer for your brain. That's how I describe it to people. You know, not that I use a physical trainer for my body. I went back a couple weeks later and she was like, I was thinking about you when you left.
Ooh.
Which is not what you want a therapist
I
to
guess
say.
Not, but at the same time, wasn't a little part of you like, ooh.
Right.
I made a dent.
I know. I was like, ooh, I'm ruining your life. but she was like, I was thinking about, because we talked about a lot of my comedy is about my like depraved life. And, you know, if I fix myself, does that make those things, does it make it harder to do my job?
No, totally. That's like, I feel like there's that whole culture in Hollywood around like when actors lose a lot of weight and it's like, especially if they're like comedic, they'll be like, can they still be funny? It's like it's like all their jokes were in their body.
Right, right.
Now they're gone. Like it doesn't make any sense, but it is like, I understand what you're saying in that there is this culture around like, oh, like I can never get anything right. And then if you're like, if I turn things around, what will be left to talk about? But I think there are things, but you're right. It's like if it is very much your brand, it's a lot trickier to be like, I'm going to do a 180 on all of this.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to know some of your worst moments. Just in life. What do you think is the worst thing about living in New York?
Oh my gosh. I've been having such a hate fest with New York lately. But
so not even love hate, just hate.
Yeah, just hate. I think it's that you can't, like if you're having a bad day and first of all, no one cares.
Right.
Which is fine. No one, like, I don't expect, like, strangers to care if I'm having a bad day. But then everyone else's bad day is also allowed to infringe on yours,
right.
I guess.
Right.
Because I had a bad day recently, and then it just felt like everything around me was just exacerbating it. And maybe it's because I was already in a bad mood, but, like, I went to a coffee shop and, like, the baristas got in like a screaming match with like some rude customers. And I was just like, what is happening? Like it felt like it was the city was manifesting.
Right.
My already bad day.
And you don't need that kind of energy in your coffee
no, I
experience.
Don't. That's not what I pay for when I go to Blue Bottle. It wasn't Blue Bottle.
What is the worst thing about being a stand-up?
My first impulse was to be like, all of it.
True.
I think, though, for me, it's a weird field for anyone, probably. But I do feel like I have a strange thing where I like go into shows being very anxious. And then afterwards, it's kind of like a relief and a release that I did it and I feel good about it. But then it is like this weird cycle of like constant anxiety, and then but then if I don't perform, it's like depression. So it's almost like I'm trapped.
That's a great feeling to have about your work. I have to keep doing this or I will die.
But there is, I guess it's just that it's a lot of highs and lows, and it is constantly like you're not sure what you're going to get that night. Like, again, that same bad day I was talking about, like it ended with this like very depressing bar show where it's like no one was laughing at anything. And it just felt like we were all just like waiting for the end.
That's always, I think, fun when you can tell just everybody is like, we all know that you want this to be over.
We want it to be
over. We want it to be over.
We could all just leave, really.
Have you ever been like, that's enough?
Oh, cut a set short. I think I generally like when you get the light, you're allowed to wrap it up. So I've definitely been like, okay, I'm just going to end when I see the light and not right. use that last minute or whatever. But
for people who aren't in the industry, you get a light.
Oh, yeah, you get a light.
From the back of the room.
When you're almost done.
Hot comedian tip.
Yeah.
They flash a light.
Yeah.
And that's how you know. I didn't know that when I started.
No,
I mean, like,
why
what are
would
you talking
you?
About?
Yeah.
What are you talking? What light? Where will it come from?
You'll know.
What is now the worst thing about traveling as a comedian?
I think just that it's very isolating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're by yourself a lot. I think a lot of people who tour regularly, they eventually bring like an opener or someone
right.
who can just like be someone they know everywhere they go, which it makes a huge difference. So whenever I have the chance, I'll do that. But I'm not at a place yet where I can just like bring someone all the time.
Have you ever stayed at one of those weird like comedian condos?
No, I've heard of them though. I'm sort of like feel
either.
Lucky
yeah.
that I haven't because it doesn't seem like you're really missing out if you
there's some cities. Barry, our producer, looks very confused. There's some cities where like certain comedy clubs will have like a condo
yeah.
that they just anybody can stay there.
Yeah,
and sometimes multiple people are staying there at once, and it's
right.
like yeah.
I feel like that. Not to be new agey, but I feel like the energy in those must be so weird from all the things that have
no,
happened.
I don't think you even have to be. Yeah. There are stains in there that most people have yeah. never encountered before.
Yeah.
I guess finally, on our worst of, what's the worst thing about being on a podcast?
Oh, I think it's when the host has an agenda that you are not told about.
I hope that's not true in this case.
No, no. I think it's more when it's like guerrilla podcasting or like gotcha podcasting.
Right. I feel like there's a story there, but I don't want you to have to tell it unless you want to.
Well, I will say I feel like I had one that was really bad that I'm thinking of where it was like a sort of gotcha right wing thing where I didn't I should have researched the host, but I did not, and I just had heard their name before and I was like, oh sure, I'll go on their podcast, and then it was very much like just baiting for reactions, and I was like, oh well, you definitely didn't research who I am because you know I don't react a lot
right.
to conflict. So
joke's on you.
I'm gonna let
I'm
you
emotionless.
Talk mainly.
All right.
But
well,
the strangest thing is that podcast went up like and people have like found me through it and they're like, oh, I heard you on this thing. And I'm like, really? And you chose to follow up on that? Okay.
Well, people should because you are hilarious. So where can people find your work, first of all?
My website is just aparnacomedy.com. So it's just aparnacomedy.com. And then Twitter is a good place to find me regularly. It's just Apar Napkin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hilarious Twitter. Everyone
Thank
should follow.
You.
And what projects do you have coming up that people should look out for?
Well, I'm mainly touring for a while. I think that's, just on the road. And then I have I don't think there's a release date yet, but there's a show coming out on Comedy Central called Corporate that I filmed a part on. So that will be hopefully coming out this fall, I think. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on and sharing your worst moments.
No, thank you for
and being depressed with us.
Having me.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, we're almost at the end of the show. It's time now for our chaser, the thing at the end of the week that helps us make all the bad things go down and make it all worth it. Barry, do you have a chaser?
I do. I have two. One is
great.
One is that my dear friend Liz was on Fox News protesting Trump. She had a sign that said, "Fuck Nazis, duh," on it, and Fox blurred out that. But she was also wearing a shirt that said, "Fuck Nazis," and they didn't blur that one. My other chaser is the second season of Insecure. It's just so good. It's so funny. It's so good.
I have to watch it.
It's really great. I love it.
I'll check it out.
You should. Matt, what's your chaser this week?
My chaser is for buying yourself a present. because that's what I do often. It's really most special when you save it up and not do it every night while you're drunk and on Amazon like me. But I bought myself a while ago when it first went on sale because I thought they were going to sell out the Beyonce coffee table book, which I spent too much money on. It just shipped this week. And I almost forgot about it. And now it's like a little gift for myself that I'm going to get from Beyonce right in my mailbox. And I'll open it, I'll cherish it, and I'll hold it against my bare breast. And it'll be beautiful. It'll be just a moment between her and me because of a gift I bought myself a while ago. Fun tip, if you order something from Amazon for yourself, add on the gift wrap. Sometimes it's free. And then you can open it like a present.
That's actually a very sweet and sad idea. Super sweet and sad.
Yep. That's what this podcast is about. It's Aww. About laughing through your pain. And that's it. Thank you for listening to Unhappy Hour. You can head to Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get this show. Hit subscribe, rate us, review us, but only if it's nice. You can keep your trash to yourself. And you really should go rate us, give us 5 stars. It helps. It helps a lot in the rankings of shit, I think. You can also find us on Spotify, and we're on Stitcher now, so you can find us there. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Media. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Jenna Weiss-Berman, Josh Gwynn, and me, Matt Belisai. Special thanks to Max Linsky, Emily Becker, and Dina Kleiner, and this week's sponsor, Squatty Potty. Music by Hansdale Sue. You can find me on all the social medias at Matt Belisai. You can pre-order my book, Everything is Awful, and other observations at everythingisawfulbook.com. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. The joke I was going to make was something about how his hair is, like, growing away from him. Like, Donald Trump's hair has denounced Donald Trump.